Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast. It is episode 10 of the challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies. I really have been considering all day if I should say that myself or if I should let Nelson say it in his dramatic fashion from the challenge in this episode, but probably will be lazy and just leave it as my own voice here. Excited to talk about another episode here. Of course, I am Matt alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, what's up?
Hello. I'm good. Excited to talk about the format change of the challenge. I feel like we have another iconic Kyle word in Ruby, how he pronounces. I quite enjoy. But yeah, otherwise, you know, excited to talk about the episode.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was a big Kyle episode for confessionals. And when that one played back on the rewatch and it was on, you know, the 1. whatever X that I rewatched it on to take notes, it caught me by surprise.
It's a lot. It definitely, I'm curious to see what all the words in common have. I guess the words that end in like the Y sounds, really Kyle nails them.
Or the R start, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair too.
Is a theme here.
Deadly also, combo.
Something that I'm just thinking about as we get started and I hear you podcasting. I've listened to so many of your podcasts in the last week and 2 weeks because I was binging Love Island. And now I feel like Allie said this in an episode, how she felt like she was blue skidooing into the podcast. I feel like I'm blue skidooing into your podcast now to like a different world. That's just kind of where I'm at.
What an interesting concept of you blue skidooing into your own podcast.
I mean, that's kind of just where I feel. There was a lot of hours of Love Island podcasting, and it just kind of kept playing anytime that there was a downtime, and it breezed right through it all. So,
well, thanks told for you the, to skip them, the, but
no. I could not.
No, the podcasts were great. The season, but you know, it's you're through it now. So.
Yeah, I noticed Kirsten makes fun of you a lot more than I ever do / could.
Yeah, she's a lot. I feel like we throw jabs at each other, but I would say this season more was her throwing towards me. I'll get her back.
It was a very fun listen. So let's talk about the challenge, not about Love Island, because yeah, that season was really bad. Episode 10 of this show here. Last week, we obviously saw the Vet Alliance was officially put to an end. We had our first vet go home by means of an elimination and not by other means. So here we are going into episode 10, and nobody knows what the format's going to be because TJ did not let Corey and Bettina pick new pairs. And as we see Tori and CT talking about, they just have no idea what to do. And I think that's where the challenge, that's where like a season like this for me thrives, when the players that think that they know everything about the game suddenly don't know anything about the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually I would like for the players to be aware of how the game is going to function, but I'm okay with it for something like this. I feel like it is a fun twist that's not really going to like actively screw over their entire season because they switch into teams now, whereas like some things where they're like, oh, it's secretly for $1 million, like, and that is makes actively worse TV. So this, I don't think you know, I think keeping it the secret is a better decision, and I approve of it this time.
And it seems like this, you know, just to get right into it, we saw that eventually the format we're going to be going to is, instead of individuals, as I think we were both speculating last week, or at least I was, we're now in a team format, that we haven't seen since Cutthroat. And I feel like that is, I never would have expected that, and I'm not upset about it.
Yeah, so I know probably shortly after we recorded last week, I started seeing some posts that were like, oh, did you notice that the puzzle was the icon from Cutthroat? And it had crossed my mind, but I just really could not imagine them having gone back to teams after what a flop War of the Worlds 2 was, specifically because of the big teams, it seemed. So I was just like, no, that's not happening. Like, even if, like, this is a coincidence. But no, it seems like they actually had been foreshadowing this a little bit throughout the season, and I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, Tori and Anissa had on one of the producers on their podcast this week, and the guy was talking about, yeah, there was a couple of little hints thrown in along the way. I was like, yeah, I did not pick up on a single one of them. I don't know if the players did. It sounded like Tori and Anissa were saying that they hadn't, at least. Well, Anissa wasn't there very long, but Tori, I guess, hadn't, and they really just genuinely seemed like at the start of this episode and all the way until they found out exactly what was going on, you know, that nobody really knew what was happening. And again, they haven't done something like this in a while. Maybe they had the same thoughts that you did, that why would they go into teams? So I don't think anybody was planning for anything like that. So to see when we get to that part of the episode in the challenge, to see that kind of all playing out in real time and all of their, like, you know, thought processes mixing together, like, it was great. This was a great episode for me.
Everyone that I have seen has been like, this is the best episode of the season. I agree. I think it was a really good episode. I think I still am partial to last week's over this week's, but I am also very happy with this week's episode.
So maybe it's just like me. I was riding off the high of like a, what I thought was a great Survivor episode. So altogether, it just felt like a really good night of reality television that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I think it was overall very good. And like, that's not me, you know, poo-pooing or taking shots at this episode. I feel like last week was the crumbling of a like structure that we had been kind of stuck with for the entire first half of the season, and that very clearly was not working. And even like that same producer on Tori and Anissa's podcast was like, yeah, we really didn't see this coming. It's like, oh, it's not that hard. So maybe think about it a little bit more. But so this week I like the new format, but it wasn't as much of like a release of all of my frustrations. Like last week was just like cathartic for me, seeing that like, oh, they finally have to turn against each other.
Yeah. Speaking of last week, so as we kind of close the book on last week and on that episode, especially Amber leaving here, our last season's champ, what'd you make of CT's comments about how Amber is only good at running and really not much else?
He's so shady, and he does it this episode also, where... and we'll talk about it, but he talks about like Big T. He's like, oh, look, back up. Don't come to my team. I don't want you anywhere near me. And it's just really annoying because, first of all, this whole season has been weird in terms of Big T's edit. I am surprised that she goes from like the darling of the show. She's the face of some of their social media pages and then is like kind of made out to be a joke on this season and really is downplayed, where I think that she is like not the worst at all on the season for sure. Mm-hmm. And last season was CT being like, everyone doubts Big T and like she's so great, and now it's like, I don't want her anywhere near me. And so it's just like annoying that he is downplaying people's abilities when like he pretends like he's against that other times. So a little bit of an eye roll from me.
Yeah, a lot of bit of an eye roll. Tori and CT, again, we've talked about their relationship. It does seem like they still have, you know, like they're working together for sure, as far as the Vet Alliance is still sticking together. Obviously, there's some people on the outs of that or being pushed towards the outs of that, but it seems like these two are still at the core. So when they check in and you see like the nerves in Tori because she's, you know, trying to game the game as most of these people do, these veterans do, and there's nothing she can do about it, and CT's just relaxing in bed because it seems like, as we've pointed out, and just whatever, nobody's, you know, even mentioning his name. Devin mentioned his name once and it was like, yeah, but Ashley, so he's chilling, but whatever.
Well, I think it just is like highlighting what types of players they are, where Big T, CT, he's someone that yeah, trust me, a rude to Big T there. CT is someone who like is going to take the game and adapt, and he's been here for 117 years by now, so he like has been through it before. He's going to figure it out, and like no matter what comes at him, he's going to likely be able to make it work for him. Where Tori, I think, wishes she could do that and is trying actively to play like a better game every season, but just like isn't that good at it and knows she's not that good at it, so she is so stressed about like, wait, but the format before was working for me. What if it doesn't work for me anymore? And I think that she very quickly is realizing that maybe she isn't in as good of a spot should things be changing. I don't know that played out, but I think it very much highlights Tori's style.
Mm-hmm. Another person not in a very good spot is obviously Corey. He kind of opened up the episode talking about how, you know, nobody has his back, and he gets that. And you know what? It is what it is. If they're going to play the game like that, if they're not going to be with me, then they're not going to be with me. And his short list from what it sounded like, Kyle, Amanda, and Ashley. So just to, you know, we didn't get a whole lot of that in this episode. It does seem like there's going to be more to come, especially if next week is a guy's elimination day. I feel like Corey's going to be in the conversation again. just the fact that like we have the Young Bucks and the Lavender Ladies that are still, you know, smaller groups, but they're still in the house together, and they used to be such a team, and now that like they're whatever has led to where we are now, that Amanda and Ashley are like on Corey's like top of his hit list. It's ridiculous, but that's where we are.
Corey later in the episode like fancies himself a strategist, and it's like, here's another moment where it's just showing Corey's bad at this. Like, I understand Kyle, because I think Kyle is pretty well connected and was like genuinely a dick to him last episode, whereas like Amanda and Ashley, they had no other choice. It was you or them, and that's it. Like, if anything, you should be recognizing that you're both probably at the bottom, have pretty good relationships between the fourth of you if you include Nelson in there, and would do best to all start working together. And that's never going to click for Corey. He feels slighted, and so he is going to go after them, even if like Amanda and Nelson are like super close.
There was a clip going, or there is, I guess, a clip going around on Twitter right now of Bananas had Ashley on his new podcast he's doing, and they were talking about the, you know, the, pretty much this exact thing, and like why Nelson and Corey, I guess, either were acting the way they were acting towards Ashley, or why they, you know, whatever the dynamic of this current setup is between these four. Bananas was essentially like, why are they being like this to you? And Ashley was like, I have no idea. Like, basically she was saying that like at the end of the day, the only thing that she can think of that would make any kind of sense as to why those two don't have fond feelings for her and don't want to play with her and don't whatever with her, is because of just pure jealousy. Basically she was saying that, you know, because she has been on the show the exact same amount of time as them, they started the same exact time, well, Corey started one season earlier, which makes it even worse. And they have not a single win to show for it. They flop in every final. Ashley's got her two wins. She got the money in that, you know, of course, taking it all from Hunter. So her accomplishments are definitely outshine those two. And she's like, I really don't think it's anything. It can't be anything besides that. I haven't screwed them over ever in the entire time we've been on the show together, besides the one episode last week where it was either me or him, me or them. So, I mean, I think there's definitely weight to what she's saying there.
Yeah, it's just so dumb, because it's not as if like, oh, Ashley gets to the end and wins the final that she's taking money out of their pockets. Like, you're not competing against her in most finals. And even if you are, like, I think that it's a fine matchup between like Corey and Ashley and Amanda and Nelson. Like, that all seems to come out in the wash, whereas like CT and like the Devins, who are much smarter and gonna do better in puzzle, like that close alliance seems like maybe you should be teaming up there, but for some reason is just fading back into the background again.
Yeah. And Ashley's not even like the main player in this episode that we, you know, to jump back into it. The person that we're really getting highlighted in this episode, which been waiting a while for some more Amanda content aside from just like confessionals, you know, it's great to have her in the confessional booth. But there was really not a whole lot of story around her. And this episode was very heavy on that. What'd you make of all of the Amanda and her son? You know, they were not FaceTiming, whatever, the video chatting in the beginning of the episode. And all throughout the episode, it was just a lot of attention being brought to, you know, what she was doing during the pandemic, being on the front lines, and how she's really just, you know, kind of evolved as why she's here and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think it was good because as someone who follows this series very closely, the franchise as a whole, like, I know all of this stuff about Amanda, but I feel like if you would ask the average at-home viewer, maybe the Challenge has a more locked-in fan base than most other shows, but I don't know if the person who is tuning in at 8 on a Wednesday or 9 on a DVR because Survivor's on otherwise, it knows like what Amanda actually does outside of the show and what her story is. So like at best they know she's a mom like tangentially, but not really even. So I'm glad that finally came up on the show, especially since her career is like so relevant during COVID times, like truly did like go back early to start working on the front line. I'm very happy that we got time to show that side of her, because Amanda is definitely can be trouble at times, but has multiple sides to her, and that is something that I've always liked about her.
Yeah, I like it's like no secret, no surprise or whatever. By the end of the episode, you're sitting there feeling like, wow, they really beat us over the head with Amanda is a mom throughout this entire episode, being like it was every confessional Ashley had. It was every other confessional Amanda had. It was Priscilla was like everybody was mentioning, because just to kind of talk about the episode as a whole, it did seem like if not for the fact that Priscilla had connected with Amanda on that personal level, Amanda would have been the one that Priscilla wanted to take into the elimination rather than the champion Ashley. She, you know, she wasn't going to take in the rookie girls, so she wanted to take in Amanda. But she felt that connection with Amanda, especially how Priscilla, you know, Priscilla has a conversation with Bettina talking about, you know, she's really doing this for her mom and wants to take the burden off of her after all of, you know, what her mom has done for her and her siblings throughout, you know, her entire life. So the connection was made there, and I wasn't like annoyed by the end of the episode where, you know, the Corey is a dad thing has been going on for seasons and seasons now, but they kind of jam this all into one episode to just really make sure that the viewers, if you weren't paying attention at the beginning or the middle or at the end, know what is happening here. And like you said, this different side of Amanda that she hasn't been around in a couple seasons. So just to show who she is at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm. And especially because of how few moms we do get on the show, it's going to bother me a little less. So right. I think I'm going to be a little more excited about that. And, you know, with it really relating to Priscilla's story, which was, I thought, a good one and a good reason why we are casting internationally and people of all different backgrounds. So I liked it. I liked how it all intertwined.
What did Bettina say she was here for? I didn't. She was. Wasn't she like, I'm just here for people like me that are don't think they can do it, like, or something? I don't know.
So the thing is, I felt like it started strong and then kind of lost the track. So
that's exactly what. That's like my exact memory. I was like, I think she's going for something here, but I didn't quite. Especially because she just gets, you know, totally. That Priscilla's going to come in and share her story, which is the one that you're really paying attention to here. But that's why I'm like, I don't know what Bettina said.
So Bettina ends with that she's like a small town girl from a small town in Sweden, and she's like here to show the small town girls. And I was like, all right, yawn, like I've seen this a million times. But in general, at the beginning, she's talking about how, you know, she's not someone who can really rely on her parents. Like if something goes wrong for her and she is not able to support herself in life, she doesn't really have anyone else that she can lean on. And so that is why, like, this is so important to her. Every opportunity she's given is so important to her, and why she takes it really seriously. And so I thought that was like a much stronger story. And we kind of got it summed up a little sloppily, but I think that it was good to finally also get to know Bettina beyond her laugh. And while I enjoy the laugh, I think that I'm happy to get to know more of these rookies.
Yeah. And I got to say, as far as this segment goes with Priscilla and Bettina, the second the Priscilla thing started airing, it was like, all right, this is probably where she leaves, right? Like it just, they telegraph it so early on. Like,
yeah,
it's not every episode, but it just really felt like something was going on here.
I thought that during this scene, and then as the episode progressed, I fully thought Ashley was going home. Like before she was even in the elimination, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is Ashley's time. So you know what? I got fooled.
This scene is like what saved me from those nerves, because I didn't feel that way that Ashley was going to go home here. Pretty much because I was like, this just feels like, especially when the pieces all came together at the end, Priscilla was voted in. I was like, yeah, I mean, they gave her a nice big personal segment at the beginning of the episode. People have been showering her with praise for the past three episodes ever since she made the big move. It just feels, you know, and that's where we ended up. So we'll get to that when we get to the elimination. But the last bit here before we get to the challenge itself, which is going to be you know, a lot to talk about, is the ending of a iconic challenge relationship. Let's call it that. Big T and Logan are no more.
No, thank you. I don't even want to talk about this. Look, we get like basically a Dodo edit. And Big T, should you be talking to your love interest about like the least sexy story of all time in like the story of Oedipus? Like, no, this is a bad, this is a very bad conversation to be having. I don't think like Logan meant it poorly, but I think that the editors are like kind of taking shots at her. And I thought it was, again, stark, very stark in comparison to how they usually have treated her on the show.
Yeah, this has been her only storyline of this entire season, and you know, it doesn't leave you feeling good about her chances that all we get to hear Big T talk about is this relationship. Not that I expected Big T was going to be the winner of the season, but you know what I mean. So yeah, I mean, not a whole lot to talk about here, but the two of them are no longer going to be canoodling, and she's upset about it. She makes a comment later on that, again, Priscilla's going to kind of take over talking about, you know, just some stuff in her world. So Big T doesn't seem to have a whole lot of, I don't know if sympathy is the right word, of just like, it's just like, okay, sorry, yeah. Big T, this one didn't work out. Try again.
I think my favorite part of this was how Logan phrased it. And sorry, Jenny Autumn, for using the word. But Logan says that Big T wants all of the horny and he only wants a part of the horny. And that did take me out. I really just died in that moment.
I mean, whatever words you got to put together here to not break Big T's heart in a million pieces, because I do think she got the message. I know he wasn't talking to her there, but like I do feel like she got the message that he wasn't mad, or not mad, just like hated her or anything like that. He was just like, yeah, this really isn't exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah, which is fair. I think it was handled fine. I don't feel like it was like, you know, you can joke, but I don't think it was this big iconic showman that really needed like serious treatment and a right, conversation. Fine. Like he handled this better than CT handled breaking up their partnership last year. And I think that CT, the partnership, deserved more respect than this relationship did. So I think we're good.
There we go. So let's get to the challenge where we're going to find out what this format change is going to be, as we are going to obviously play the daily challenge for the week. It's broken up into two parts. For the first part, CJ is going to tell us that, you know, obviously we're not in pairs anymore, as you can all figure out. And Casey's like, oh, I knew it. We're playing as individuals now. Not quite. But we are going to see after this first segment that we're going to be playing in teams. I don't know, lead us in wherever you want to jump in here with this challenge and TJ's delivery or anything here.
So let's talk about the actual the first part of the challenge first, because I don't have a lot to say there. But I thought it was fine. I thought it was mostly an enjoyable challenge. I like that they have options. I think that's a interesting twist that people can throw into challenges. But that scratching part was apparently like the worst thing ever, and like people were down like scratching the skin off of their fingers because it was like real paint that they were scratching. So that one was not great, but otherwise I thought that this challenge was pretty decent.
Yeah, that part looked terrible. I guess of these three, Nelson probably had the right idea with the one mm-hmm. finding a box to, I mean, there's what, probably at most 50 boxes there. I don't know. The binoculars one exactly. seemed like it looked easy, but then definitely wasn't easy because they're all standing there like looking out to like, where the hell are we supposed to be looking? And it seemed like more people that did that one that Nelson was on ended up going through earlier, as far as I could tell. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I definitely did enjoy this challenge more than a lot of the other ones lately. Just, you know, having some tasks and going, it wasn't just, you know, there was unlocking a code or decoding whatever, because we can't get through a challenge without that, but there wasn't any bombs going off, I don't think. And then obviously we have the whole thing in the middle, which is probably what you want to talk about more.
Yeah, I am much more interested in the team selection. So first of all, do you like this twist? Are you happy they're moving to teams? What do you think about this?
It's fine.
And I guess this is a method for dividing the teams.
Yeah, the method I fully enjoy, because this is the kind of thing that like has been taken away from us on every Survivor season for like a while now, watching things get selected, watching teams get selected, even on a simple thing like on a Survivor reward challenge. Like, I want to see who's picking who, and I want to see how people are getting to where they're getting to, even if maybe there sometimes is absolutely no strategy. I'm sure that's not the case, but I want to watch the selection process. So to have this be tied in, like in the middle of the challenge, you know, it was based a little bit on skill, or I don't even know if a little bit, but like enough on skill from like how you did in the first part of the challenge of, you know, where you got to go. And then, you know, the earlier you got there, the more you kind of got to make a decision of where to go. And it's not like once you got to the mat, you were completely, you know, you had no more stake in what happened. Like, you saw CT, we'll get to CT and his comments to Big T. Like, you could still kind of work with other people around you and direct people on where you think that they should go. So I really did enjoy this part.
So I'm very excited about the teams. I know on the Tori and Anissa podcast, they said that like this was always the plan. And the reason why they originally went with partners was because you would be able to better get to know the rookies in partners than you would on big teams, where they would really get shuffle. And it's like, oh yeah, thank God the rookies didn't get lost in the shuffle this season. Knock on wood. But you know, whatever, it happened. And so I am happy that the teams are a thing now. I'm glad to see the structure shaken up. I think we could have maybe started this a little earlier, but I do really love how they were picked. I think that probably the best place to come in here is somewhere around the middle of the pack, is really where you have the most information to operate on, but also have the most options open to you. So I really enjoyed this, especially, I don't think we have to go through every single pick, obviously, but I really appreciated when Corey runs up and he's like, ah, this is a real vet move. I'm going to pick Ruby because I'm not going to be on the same team as Nelson. I was like, that is like the level two thinking, but even better, he's like, a rookie would never think of this. Meanwhile, Ed is like, I'm gonna wait and not lock it in and wait to lock in once I have more information available to me, which I was like, that is the level five move. Like, he was thinking so far ahead of Corey and really highlighted that, like, yeah, okay, it's not about how many seasons you've done. Like, Ed is actually a better thinker than we probably would give him credit for.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess to give Corey like the smallest bit of credit, then we do see like Priscilla and Emmy jump up into joining the same team, and that's kind of exactly what Corey was just saying, that like when you're not paying attention, you see somebody you want to work with, you're going to jump right on the mat with them. Priscilla, after getting on the mat, realizes, oh, this probably wasn't the best idea to have two rookie girls on the same team, because that's probably going to put a target on her back and blah blah blah. So little bit of credit to Corey there, but yeah, otherwise, yeah, there's a couple of different ways that they could have played this. I mean, they didn't have to jump on the mat at all in the beginning. They could have all stood off the mat and waited for other people to come in and then said like, oh, let's all strategize this together, because they got nothing out of like getting there first, besides Nelson getting to like, you know, have his moment where he drops his diamond into the blue, you know, one of the blue bays, and exclaims to the challenge god, spies, lies. I was like, what are you doing? Oh my god. But that's just Nelson. So
I mean, I guess technically Nelson got his first challenge win in a couple seasons.
That's not a challenge win.
Like, is it?
There's nothing on Wikipedia that is going to have Nelson's name on it from this episode.
Fine. I would be happy about picking my jersey color, personally. So that would be the only temptation in locking in early. But yeah, otherwise, I agree that picking early is not super advantageous here.
In your notes, majority or any times did you write ruby, sapphire, and emerald, or red, blue, and teal? That's what I went red, blue, and teal.
I wrote every single time like a full idiot. And I like knew that I was doing this. But my compromise that I was going to write team anytime that I had to, I'm never using the word sell. That's not happening.
I kind of like it. And anytime that I started to write team, I would try to remember to write sell.
No, I can't. I really, it's so self-important of the show for me. Like, it just because it's like, ooh, like we're a cool spy team. It's like, no, stop. You're on teams. Like, I don't need this. So I gave the compromise where I was like, fine, I'll write your stupid, like, gem names, but I'm not doing cell.
Yeah, I was like, what in the Pokemon are we doing here? But it was fine. So yeah, as the teams start to form, we see the guys are all kind of splitting up, and we kind of got to the point where I guess when CT is going to come, well, Devin and Emmanuel join Josh because you know the three BFFs over there, but CT comes up, and we get the confessional from Corey being like, CT is like one of the best competitors in the game, he's still just as good as ever. And it's like, are you telling us why you want CT on your team, or are you telling us why everybody should be trying to take CT out of the game but no one has tried? Either way, CT is a hot pick here, and he's looking around and he's going to make the choice on his own to go with Nelson and Ed.
Yeah, I think probably the right choice there. I feel like Nelson and Ed and CT as a three are like very well balanced. I think, like he says, Nelson is a complete workhorse. CT is both a workhorse and phenomenal at puzzles. And I think Ed has proven to be no slouch pretty much in any department at this point. So I think that they probably have the strongest male team, if not definitely, on the Sapphires. And I think that CT probably picked wisely.
Right. And this feels obvious, but let me just check. This does feel like they were told three men, three women on each team, right?
1,000,000%. And I think at one point they even said, they're like, all right, like they have all their guys slots filled up or something. It's like not specifically stated that has to be three and three, but there's language in the show which makes it pretty obvious.
Right. So CT picks his two brand new sports cars, Nelson and Ed, to be on his team. Kyle comes up next. He wants to be on Corey's team. These two have been going at it since at least in the last episode where Kyle was making the comments like, oh yeah, I don't trust Ashley. And Corey's like, you obviously do. So they were fighting about that. And now Corey wants to be on, or Kyle wants to be on Corey's team. What'd you think about that one? I kind of didn't love the decision. I was like, you probably could work with a lot of other people better.
It's convenient that he wants to be on Corey's team, considering it was the only option available to him at that point.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think about it. Because the other three got, yep, you're right.
So, like,
didn't have an
did
option.
He really? Because the rest of the episode, he's like, I hate this team. I don't want to be on it. So I don't believe him. I think it was just like, all right, this is a benefit of being on Corey's team. I think that it is smart to divide your numbers up, but at the same time, I am curious to look at these teams in a little bit and see where we think the voting power lies.
Yeah, Kyle would have been running to Devin if that was an option, or CT, and obviously those weren't options. So yeah, there's that. Casey's going to end up coming up, and just like CT, she's a pretty high draft pick. Everybody wants her, but she's going to run towards Josh and Emmanuel, which Devin's also there as well, which makes, you know, all the sense. Ashley shows up and gravitates towards CT as she always does. And she even points that out. She's like, I don't know what it is, but I always go towards CT. So
yeah,
no surprise there. Tori's going to run to her homies on the teal mat, the emerald team, sell the emerald.
At least cell. Say green.
Yeah, it looks, it's a teal.
It's a green team.
Teal, green, you know. Ugh. All right, green. Sorry, I didn't mean to disrespect your favorite color.
Thank you.
Logan shows up, and apparently Logan gets a little injured along the way here.
Yeah, I feel like this is coming back, huh?
I hate this for my draft team, but...
Yeah, 0% shot this gets highlighted. Unless he is either, I mean, it might be in an elimination where it's like, oh, his leg really hurts. You know, Nelson's finger, I think, got highlighted and where it got hurt in the elimination with Fessy or re-injured, like more badly injured. Yeah. So I think that it could cause a problem for him in an elimination, or he is straight up taken out of the game. But I don't see a way that this is highlighted if it does not come into play later.
Yeah, I mean, this is fully exactly what happened with Nam last season of like, it got exactly. highlighted like three episodes before something happened. So it's just kind of like, just so you know, something's wrong with Logan's leg. So something may happen. So I guess we will keep an eye on that. Then Nani shows up. She's going to, of course, jump in with Casey, Tori, and Josh. And this is like, I mean, that team is the definition of the cool kids team. Like, whether or not you personally, as an audience member, think that they're the cool kids, like in this little bubble of people that are remaining on the challenge, like that was the cool kids team. And of course, she's going to run right over to complete that team there as Casey's like calling out for her to show up. So Nani wraps things up and joins them. And then Big T is going to come and have her moment where she is told specifically by CT to go to the other team.
Which, like, congratulations, you got Bettina instead. Are you happy? Like, I think that Big T would probably be a better asset for the team, but sure.
I mean, the reuniting of Big CT was definitely close to being a possibility, but yeah, didn't quite happen there. So Big T, you know, in confessional, kind of you know, questionable thought process of, oh, yeah. CT always has my best interest. I'm like, did you watch or were you there when
I hope she's watching happened? Now is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, Amanda shows up. She's going to join Ashley, of course, which no surprise there. And then as the teams are all solidified, we get these very dramatic shots of everybody on their mats together. They must have been standing there for like an hour of like getting promo, because this is like now the going forward into the game. Like, these are the teams, and like they don't have, like, if this was the beginning of the season before filming even started, they would do their promo shoot. So they had to do it all here. I thought that was funny.
So the Emerald team, you said, seems like the cool kids, seems really popular. We think that this seems like almost the six closest people to each other, I would say.
It's three different showmances.
Yeah. So
Nani and Casey, Emmanuel and Tori, and Josh and Devin.
Ooh, there you go. So yeah, they're all super, super tight. Do you think that is the smartest strategy, putting all of your friends on one team?
The way that it worked out for them in this episode, getting the win, and I feel like, they got the win here. Look, I'm nothing if not results oriented. And I do feel like they're the heavy favorites going into any future challenges that they stay in these teams for. So just looking at the way that the team was made up here, I do feel like they're fine. This was good. This was.
It, I Do you think the women on their team are so strong that they really do seem to be the favorites? I would say Sapphire is pretty close, though. I think the men are stronger than the men on Emerald. And I think that the women are no slouches, especially Ashley. And I think Amanda's pretty decent. So I don't think Emerald is a complete lock. And I think they're going to be fine. Because they have a lot of friends on the other teams, but I thought it was a little curious not to, you know, want some filler on the team to throw, like, to have thrown in once you lose a challenge.
Yeah, I guess. I just don't feel like they're losing a challenge.
We'll see.
That's just kind of.
You think they're going to win every challenge from here on out?
I guess it's hard to, like, exactly predict that, but when you have the Ruby team that's, like, two guys that are completely, you know, fighting with each other every second of the day, Corey and Kyle, and then, you know, the rest of the team is, you know, no slouches, Emmy, Logan, and Big T, but it's like, I don't know, just looking at the way that the teams are going to have, like, the chemistry between them and then strength and individually, you know, individual strength amongst the team members, I just feel like this team is stacked there, so... Okay. That's that. I don't know. But then we go into the second part of the challenge with these teams, unless you had anything else on the teams.
Yeah, I have many more on the teams,
actually.
Sorry. You're fine.
Okay,
I was going to say just quickly on Sapphire and Ruby, if you are looking at those two teams, where do you think the power, like if they were to somehow gain power, I know you think Emerald's going to win every challenge from here on out, but should one of these other teams win, who do you think is really the main alliance on these? Because I feel like I could pretty easily lock that into.
Yeah. Sapphire would probably be Amanda, Ashley, CT, and then I mean, Nelson is, you know, still a vet with them, so probably would just kind of follow along, and Ed's just kind of happy to be there. I don't know how much influence Bettina is going to have, so really CT, Ashley, and Amanda are the core of that. And then as far as Ruby goes, what a mess. I don't know. What do you have?
So I think that I actually would put Ed closer to the power structure of Sapphire. Like maybe they'll be willing to have him voted in, but I think Ed is more likely to go along with that voting power than Nelson, because I don't think that the interests are going to align all the time. Whereas on Ruby, I think Kyle, Logan, Big T, and Emmy seem like they are working with the majority of the house. Obviously, Priscilla's gone, so I think it's really just Corey who kind of doesn't have anyone that is a locked vote with him on that team at all on that anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. I kind of forget about like the Kyle and Big T connection that does exist, and Logan and Big T may not be in the same bed together, but I feel like they'll still have each other's backs. And Corey at the end of the episode when Priscilla goes home is like, what do I do now? My team is like falling apart, and we just lost one of the people who liked being on the team the most. And it's like, well, Corey, I don't know what you should do to save your team, but you should probably save yourself, I guess, looking at it like that.
And then if I had to, as these teams are formed, one of these teams is going to win the final. Who are you picking as both? Who are you betting on? And then who would you prefer?
I mean, again, betting on the Emerald team with it's just the
what
again,
betting on Josh and Devin to win a final.
The team chemistry will take you way farther than just individual skills will. And these six people are going to work together. It's Casey and Josh, Casey and Emmanuel, who are, you know, were partners for the majority of the season. Tori and Devin are great friends. Like everybody here, it's the cool kids
club. I agree
club.
With that.
And who do I want to win? I mean, Amanda and Ashley are on a team together. That's the answer.
All right. Well, that seems fair. I think that would not be a bad winning team either.
Do you have any like major different opinions?
No. I feel like Team Emerald has grown on me this season as a whole. I don't think that any of them, any of the vets, at least on the team, were near the top of my list on previous seasons. But they've all grown. I don't think enough to overtake the other two teams, though. And I think Corey's, you know, recent posts have probably dragged down Ruby enough where Sapphire locks it in.
So anything else on the teams before we get to the second part?
Now we can move into the second part.
Now let's move into the second part. What'd you make of the second part of the challenge?
I thought it was good. I don't think that, like, I don't blame them for not having really thought about the Devin hack here. So I think it probably a little bit of the air was taken out of it by that, but I can also appreciate when someone comes up with a hack to win a challenge. So I thought this was overall pretty decent too.
Kind of appreciate a good screamo background song. Ooh. Going on here. I don't know. It set the tone of like it just the. I mean, the challenge usually does a pretty good job setting the music for, you know, most of their scenes, and they've been, especially like the past couple of seasons, I feel like been doing better. And like, I don't know, watching this with this, the, whatever the song that was playing in the background that I don't know that I've heard before, but it sounded like a lot of songs I've heard before. I was like, this is working for me. Yeah, obviously the highlight of all of this is Devin outsmarting the challenge, and it's like, oh, I can look at a challenge in just 1 second. I can figure it all out and I know what I'm doing. It's like, all right, I mean, yeah, you figured it out, but like also this wasn't, but okay, whatever. So yeah, Devin and the rest of Team Emerald are gonna end up doing the strategy where they put a bunch of blocks on the top so that, you know, everybody can much easier fit all the cinder blocks inside without just, you know, Devin's hands being the one to put things in. So it works out for them, and they get their win here, so there's that.
Yep. I think I thought that Sapphire probably at first glance was a little stronger, but I think that good on Devin, and I would say a couple members of his team for really being like forward thinking and good challenge competitors in different ways.
Yeah. Who was putting the blocks in? I know that Ashley was up on the ladder for the other, for the Sapphire. Who was up there for Ruby? Do you remember?
Ruby. I think it might've been, was it even Corey or who was it? Kyle? I don't know. I don't have no idea, to be honest.
Not important. I just, I think they really were pointing us to only pay attention to the other two teams anyway, because Ruby probably didn't really stand much of a chance. At least as far as the narrative goes, that's where we were paying attention. So after the challenge is over, Team Emerald has won, and TJ tells us that it is a women's elimination day. So go back to the house, and as we're going to see this format plays out, I don't know if we want to talk about it now or when we get to the deliberation, agency, right? Mm-hmm. I'm having one of those moments where I'm like, is that the right? Okay. The agency is going to be the team. They're going to vote in one person, and then who knows how the other one's going to get selected. So the format is changing as far as who's playing with who, and also as far as how the voting is all going to go. So different setup here for how to strategize going back to the house.
Oh, stop having women's eliminations first. Send home the men. but no, I feel like it was, as soon as you leave it open-ended, like you're going to show up to the elimination and then we'll figure out how someone else is going. It's like, all right, so they're choosing their opponent. I didn't think that was any big shock, but I'm happy with the only one person going home from here on out. I am like torn on whether I would have rather seen only one person go home in the earlier days so that we could have kept a few more people around, because I feel like the challenge in recent years has had a problem where we have like a number of episodes with very few people, and it's like, all right, we're having these party scenes with like five people there and nothing's gonna happen. So I think maybe I would have rather kept a few more people around longer rather than switch to single eliminations now, but I'm happy for the format change overall.
Yeah, it did seem like a lot of people were going home. Well, that's how it works when you eliminate a team. I don't know. It just felt like, you know, I think this episode, I believe was the halfway point, because that seemed like the trailer at the end of the episode was longer than usual. So I'm guessing that, because they didn't specifically say, as far as I remember, this is the halfway trailer, but it did seem like that's kind of what we got there. So with half of a season still to go, and you end up with probably like 10 people that make the final, or the like, you know, maybe two people go out at the final. There's not that many people that they still have to eliminate, even though it still looks like there's a lot of people there. There's still 18 left in the game, and you know, they only have to get rid of eight more theoretically over the course of the next six episodes. So, you know, no problem for them to slow things down a little bit.
Yeah, definitely agree with the move.
So, but as far as where are we going to go from here, and what is Team Emerald going to do? Who's the power structure on this team? All of them. They're all working together. So it's not really like you can say anyone's more in control than another. Of course, eventually we're going to get that scene of the team discussing, you know, their options. And the moral of the story here is that since they don't know the format and how the second person is going to be picked, they could take a shot at somebody like an Ashley or, you know, if they're going to go for a rookie, which one do they go for? They're playing it super safe right now, or thinking about playing it super safe, because they just don't know. And they don't want, like, as, Tori says, I think, like, if we're going to take a shot, we really can't miss it here.
Yeah. And I think it was the right move also, because they, like I said, once you know you're only voting in one other person, and I think you have a pretty decent idea that the person is probably going to be able to pick their opponent. And I think if you vote in Ashley, like, she could pick a Priscilla or a Patina or a, you know, lover, but a Big T, and have like a pretty decent shot in most eliminations against them. So I think that they were right to play it a little safe here.
Or she could pick, nope, no, she can't. Or she could just pick Tori, and nope, that's not how that works.
Nope.
Is there anybody on any of these teams that she could have picked that would have hurt that alliance? I don't think so. No, not at all. It's rookies or Amanda. Not a single person would have, like, dented that group.
Emmy would have been like the worst case probably, but I wouldn't say it would be like the biggest blow to that alliance.
Right. The confessional that we had got, that kind of set up where we were in all of this, was Nani, when we get back to the house, talking about, you know, the vet alliance. Because the thing is that now the format's changed. So right on the back of, you know, the rookies, Priscilla changing things around, so now a vet has to be into elimination. At least one was going to be in there every time. Now it's individual, so that doesn't have to be the case. So it's kind of like, okay, the vet alliance could continue to stick together, and we could, you know, potentially have a world where, because they don't know for a fact that Priscilla is going to get to pick her partner yet, that potentially there could be rookie versus rookie in elimination. So maybe we could keep that going. But Nani's like, yeah, I really don't think that we're at that point. I think that we're pretty much done with that. A lot of us are still sticking together, but there are people in this house that we don't trust, or that I don't trust. And, you know, particularly she's talking about Ashley, and, you know, it's, it was kind of jarring to me to see how much she didn't trust Ashley, or just the way that she was saying everything there. I was a little surprised.
It is weird. And I think Ashley even highlighted this on social media. So, Tori talked about on the podcast about how she and Ashley have acknowledged, like, they both have gone out pretty early on a lot of recent seasons. So why are they going to target each other early? Like, let's try to work together. And but for Tori, this isn't early in the season anymore. So free to keep going. But I think probably still a bad idea for Tori. I don't think she's at the top of the structure. Like, she's in, but not all the way there. So I don't think Ashley is a bad ally for her, especially moving forward in other seasons. So I think kind of unnecessary to take that move. And I do agree with Ashley, where she says on social media, like, everyone's talking about how she's so untrustworthy and she'll backstab anyone, and she's so, like, much of a snake. And it's like, all of the people that she is actually trying to work with this season are the ones talking, like, shit about her and trying to betray her at every possible opportunity. Yet she is the one who is, like, so ruthless and trying to make the moves on them.
As an Ashley fan, which I know a lot of, not everybody is, but I know a lot of people are, especially, I think, people that listen to this podcast, it was a tough watch here, especially when you add in the her social media and what she was saying after, because it did seem like she was genuinely blindsided by the way that Nani or whoever else was talking about her, that she was like, I didn't know that they had this much, like, resentment towards me. And, you know, they only say this kind of stuff in the confessionals. And she was saying on Twitter, like, these people were saying to my face that, like, they wanted to work with me and they like me and they, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then especially also when you get to the elimination, and at the end of the elimination, everybody, all the vets are cheering Ashley on, you know, motivation aside, because they probably just saw that she was going to win. And that's kind of where it seemed like they were going with that. Like, oh, she's going to win, we have to root for her. And it just seemed like, you know, like, riding that high of, like, oh, everybody likes me. And then going to watch this episode thinking that that was what you were going to see, like, everybody backing Ashley, wanting Priscilla out because Priscilla broke this alliance. And then it was still a lot of, like, oh, actually, we really don't like you as much as you think that we do. And This is, again, you know, the fourth or fifth season in a row that Ashley's dealing with having, like, no actual friends in the house. She gets Amanda this season. That's great. But it's just rough. I was like, I don't know what she's doing to these people that's making them feel this way, or if it's just the jealousy of it all. But it's not fun to watch for me.
I'm trying to come up with like a good comparison, but there are some people that we've seen come back over and over, and it's just kind of like a lot of their friends aren't coming back anymore. They aren't fitting in as well with the new crop of people. And I feel like Ashley's reputation, whether she deserves it or not, is kind of so damaged to a point that I don't know that she's ever really going to be able to be in a prime position moving forward anymore, which is wild that CT is, considering that, like, even last season, he was like saying to the confessionals, like, sorry to my closest allies, I don't care about you at all. Everything is about me, and I am also the strongest person in the house. Whereas I feel like Ashley is more of a loyal player and isn't as strong of a player as CT is, but she is the one who is constantly finding herself as a target.
Yeah, and I guess like there's a little bit of it, like the factor of as far as like the comparison between these two is CT is somebody that you generally do really fear in eliminations. Like you don't want to be the one who goes into an elimination against CT. And that I kind of feel like that lifts some of the target off his back, that people are like not trying to throw him down there because what if you're the one that ends up having to go against him? Where Ashley doesn't have that same reputation at the moment, like she talked about in the elimination, like I really need to get a win here. I haven't had a win in a while down here. So people aren't like afraid of, you know, if it is me or my ally that goes against her, there's probably a shot that they can beat her. I don't know if that, you know, that's definitely not all of it. There's a whole lot more besides that, but it's yeah, that's again just not fun for me to watch, but whatever.
I think that's super fair.
So, when we go to follow them to their night out here, what's happening here? This is where we're just getting more about the Corey and Kyle riff, where Kyle really does not like his team.
Corey's like doing a decent job of trying to hype up the team, but I think that they're right in that there are a lot of decent players on Ruby, but no one really that has come off like a team leader in the past. I don't think that like Kyle's pretty good. He's a good talker. He's a good like alliance mate and everything, but he like purposefully tries to stay out of the spotlight. So it's just there's not really anyone who is like super inspiring and like a great thinker to keep them all together. And I think Kyle is seeing the writing on the wall and who's looking for an escape.
Yeah, I mean, when the person that you would that's like trying to fill that role of being the one to keep the team together is Corey, and he hates Corey at the moment, it's there's no nothing happening here. I mean, it's like we have to work on our communication. Like, yeah, not happening. Logan's hurt, so
Well,
God.
especially when it's like Corey's like, guys, we all have to work it as a team. It's like, yeah, of course you're saying that. You're at the bottom of the team. Like we all like if we were to like our friends are the ones that are in power on the other team. If we were to win a challenge, like we're not going to do what you say. We're going to vote how we want. So obviously Corey is like trying to like, guys, let's start working together where everyone else is like, we don't need you anymore.
Yeah. So that team is just a mess. It's really not working out for them, and you know, we'll see where they go going into next episode if they can even try to pull some team morale together. But then we get more with Amanda here talking about how she's going to be ready to go in because she does seem to think that it could be her. Priscilla and Tori check in. Priscilla feels pretty confident that, you know, the target is still on her back. But you know, the commentary about Priscilla continues to be from Tori and everybody else that like this girl is fearless, she's brave, she's, you know, ready to fight for her spot in the game and just for, you know, she made a bold move and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of respect towards her. And you know, we're obviously getting closer and closer to finding out that she is going to be the one to go in. So that's that.
Yeah, and I also really did like Ashley being like, I would rather you have another week here or like have another chance than me to Amanda. I think they both know that like Ashley is going to come back every time they call her for next season. So like I would be happy for Amanda to you know, have as many chances this season as she can.
I mean, there's a couple more things before the deliberation, but it's stuff that we kind of have already talked about. Anything else
Ready for deliberation.
from all that? Okay, so at the deliberation, we do see, yeah, the agency is going to be the only ones that are voting, and as everybody shows up in their team colors except for Kyle, we're continuing to see Corey and Kyle clash. Kyle's like, it's literally just a joke. Relax. And Corey's like, well, we really should be showing some unity, Kyle. Unity.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the cheeky move of showing up in the Emerald, but it was like when I first noticed that they were all in each other's like team colors, I was like kind of rolling my eyes a little bit, like,
Yeah.
okay, guys, did you really all own these colors like coming in? Because I don't even necessarily believe that.
Yeah, I like, is there a world where I pack a red shirt on a vacation with me, or I don't think so.
Yeah, I love green, but I don't feel like everyone loves wearing it, so.
Yeah, I have a very specific color pattern in my wardrobe. There's a lot of blues, a lot of grays, blacks, and purple. It's just not a whole lot of red. So I would have
Yeah.
been on the outs of. I would have also showed up wearing green, and then Corey would have hated me. But that's fine. I don't care, Corey. I don't care what you think of me. The deliberation thoughts here.
I think it was decent. I thought Devin made it pretty clear, like, if you don't speak now, don't be surprised if you find yourself down there. So I think that it was good. Every single woman who was at risk did make an argument, so some better than others, but I especially liked Emmy's letter.
Yeah, I wish that I was able to screen cap it and like screenshot it and read it. I couldn't quite get there. I mean, you might have done that, but
Did not.
she definitely gave the most entertaining pitch, and CT even comments on it. But yeah, everybody just kind of that was eligible to go in gave their two cents as to why they should go in. It was a funny chain of events seeing that like so Priscilla went first, and she pretty much laid out the exact case that she had said to Big T that she was going to say. And then Ashley's in confessional, like rolling her eyes at Priscilla's pitch. And then Ashley kind of gives a pitch that Big T is then going to pretty much roll her eyes at, being like, yeah, that was ridiculous. Like, you're a champion. Like, no one's underestimating you. And Big T gives her pitch. So it was just like one after another. They were like, what are you saying?
I think probably the worst pitch here goes to Bettina when she's like, guys, I'm not actually weak, I'm actually very strong. It's like, okay, I don't think that she is risking herself getting thrown in because of that, but it's like maybe being weak is good when the other teams have the power here.
Bettina, understanding the assignment, we will get back to you all on that one.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Priscilla gets the votes, and she's fine because she's like, "Oh, I look hot up there." I'm like, "Oh, that's a great reason to be fine with getting voted in."
It's always a thing. Even when people get nominated on Big Brother, it's like, oh, I love my picture. So,
Not
you get to see it for the
everybody
first
loves
time.
their picture. I watched Big Brother 9.
That is true. Well, Big Brother 8. But sure.
Yeah, you're right. Big Brother 8.
I am right.
I watched everything on Big Brother
I'm a
8.
genius. Don't.
Sorry. Okay, where are we? I don't know. Anything else here before the elimination?
Nope. Priscilla's compromised and we get the elimination.
Priscilla is indeed compromised. She comes on down. TJ is going to let everybody know that the decision of who Priscilla's opponent will be is Priscilla's. So that's going to be the way that we're going to decide elimination opponents here, which is nothing new. They've done this on plenty of seasons before. And I think it's always a good way to pick the opponent. I don't know if you disagree, but I like this part, this
I
setup.
like it a lot, and I like that you're actually able to pick from your own team, because were you not able to, you would have the selection of three people, maybe potentially two people or one person in the future, had the team, the other team that lost, already lost some eliminations. So I'm glad that it is a wider pool. And I am happy with the mechanic they're using.
Yeah, not happy with the person that gets picked, but this is where we are. Priscilla, again, as we mentioned earlier, doesn't want to choose a rookie, which kind of leaves her only down to Amanda or Ashley. Doesn't want to choose Amanda.
Wow, the erasure of Big T right there. Okay.
Sorry, I forgot. No, Big T.
Okay. Wow.
Okay, you take over.
Well, I will say and that was the producer that was on the podcast was like, oh yeah, like the big question of like, is Big T a rookie or not anymore? Is she considered a vet? And then Amber, which is the one that really confuses me. It's like, why is Amber the one that confuses you? She's done one season where Big T's done four, but sure,
Big T
whatever.
always wants to hang out and work with the rookies. Like, she just, and it's a great strategy because even to somebody sitting at home, I'm like, oh, yeah, the rookies, including Big T.
Yeah, well, because you know what, when she is like, it is, there's such a gap of like people that have been on for 10 seasons, and then like Big T, who's been on for 4, and then people have been on for 1. So like she's closer to a rookie, like in terms of bonding, than she is to many of the vets, where like they're all ever working in there, where she can like start afresh just with the rookies, like they all are with each other. So I understand it, but I wouldn't then question her status as a vet. But yeah, I think that in terms of Priscilla's decision, like you said, she was never picking Big T. She's super close with her. She was never picking.
I didn't say that. You corrected me and helped me get to that point.
Well, I mean,
thank you.
I was throwing you a bone. But
thank
sure.
you. I appreciate
so,
it.
So, no problem. So, super close with Big T. Never. She's now throwing her a bone, never picking her here. She was pretty close with Bettina, it seems. Never going to pick her. Emmy's on her own team. I think that they're probably have a decent relationship. Amanda talks about on the after show that Priscilla actually talked about how like she respects Amanda a lot as a single mom. Her mom, like given the experiences of her own mom, she respects Amanda a lot and never would do anything to endanger her game. So she will be picking Ashley, and I feel like it really was the only decision that she had out of the 5 that were available to her.
Yeah, and just like everybody pretty much said in their confessionals, I'm thinking along the same lines of like, it's just like props and respect to Priscilla, who, you know, is really just swinging big here. I don't know if there's even any element. I genuinely don't know that I feel like there's any element of feeling like, oh, like, let me take a big shot because I'll be remembered this way. Like I go down mm-hmm. against, you know, like, cause there's definitely people that have that kind of philosophy when they're picking their opponent. Think of like JP in, War of the Worlds.
The first one that came to mind actually.
Yeah, exactly. like let me go against a champ and make a name for myself. If I end up pulling out the win, sometimes maybe works, sometimes, doesn't. So, you know, on the off, I don't know why I said it like that. On the chance that Priscilla beat Ashley, it just did seem like Ashley was the favorite on this one. If Priscilla had won against Ashley, you know, the name she's making for herself is even bigger. She sent home 2-time champion. Like how, you know, impressive is that? So, it didn't work out that way for her here, but she, you know, went against somebody that she, wasn't 100% confident she could beat, rather than just, you know, maybe an easier pick in a rookie or anybody else, whatever. So, this is where Priscilla's game is going to end. The elimination itself, I relatively enjoyed. It wasn't something that we've seen before or seen 100 mm-hmm. times, if they've done anything like this before. So overall, props to Priscilla and good elimination.
So really liked it overall. I wish the only thing that I hate is the peanut gallery being able to like help with the memorization. Cause I really did like the structure of like running to the end and seeing that the colors are like lighting up all out of order and you have to like actually put in a lot more work to memorize because of that. So had they not been able to help out, I would have liked it even more, but overall I like this elimination a lot.
Yeah, it was good. When you get to the end and like you have everybody cheering for Ashley and helping her with the pattern, like you're saying, like it's hard to, you know, get too excited about any outcome. I mean, Priscilla wasn't even up to that part of the elimination yet, so yep. Like the writing was kind of on the walls. But if it had been closer and everybody's sitting there, you know, helping Ashley out, it's like, all right, well, there's really not a whole lot left she has to do to, you know, win this for herself besides move things where people are telling her to move them. But also, you know, there's some element of social game in that as well. You know, you have the challenge has always been, you know, the elimination format where people can help you if they're, you know, everybody that's watching is able to help you. So, you know, she had the assistance behind her, got her first elimination win in a couple of seasons, and felt good in the moment there for Ashley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not her first solo elimination win, but first elimination win in a while. So very happy for Ashley. I really did get fooled when she's talking about how like I would rather like sacrifice my game for Amanda. I was like, oh no, this is happening. So glad to see that she is not out yet. I am happy that the streak was broken.
Yeah, I mean, sacrificing her game for Amanda would have been I don't know, better or worse than a $500 gift card. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, Nelson's like, how could you possibly, like, I sacrificed my game for Corey. It's like, well, Ashley is willing to also then do that for Amanda this week, but sure. So, you know, I'm sad to lose Priscilla. I like her a lot. Not someone that I was looking to go home right now, but if for Ashley, it had to happen.
Yeah, and you know, as mentioned at the beginning of the episode, a lot of talk about the way that Ashley was doing this for Amanda. You know, it's just the friendship between these two hasn't It hasn't not been highlighted. Like, they've both talked about, you know, I have my number one in the game with me this time and whatnot, but just kind of reinforcing that these two are in it together. At the end, Amanda gives that confessional being like, we are going to win this money. Just you wait and see. Would love to see that. I hope that we can, I hope that's the world that we can live in here, as not optimistic as I am about it, but we're going to see them together here for another week, and let's keep on moving with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm happy. What? And then I guess all we really have left in terms of this episode is we find out that they will be able to infiltrate another team, including the agency, if they so choose. Do you like the twist? And do you like Ashley's decision that she made?
I like the twist. I definitely think there should be a door open where, like the format has been kind of allowing for the beginning of this season and last season, where you can, you know, change up the format of the partners and kind of keep things fresh and interesting. If she had jumped into, which I do think that she should have done, the Ooh. Emerald team, and gotten into that group that I, like I'm saying a couple times here, that I feel like that's the stronger team. If she had kind of jumped aboard with them, and into a group of people that she may, but that's also the thing. It's hard to say, because I, as I'm watching, feel like she should have jumped into this group that is not feeling confident about her, so they are forced to protect her, or forced to, like, you know, she has a better shot of winning, I think, more often. But then she's down there feeling like everybody's supporting her and loving her and wanting her to be in the game anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't put her into elimination and they were rooting for her. So what does she know? Like, what does she think is different here?
Exactly. I think given the information that she has, I don't blame her, because like we said, she seems to think that she is working with Tori probably a little more closely than Tori thinks that she's working with her this season. I think there's going to be a men's elimination day before we even get to another women's elimination day. So let the game play out a little more. There are lots of other options. Hopefully you would think that if the Emerald team won again, they would vote in Bettina before you, or like Emmy or someone else. They think you probably have at least another week of a grace period. So I don't blame her for the decision that she made. I think ultimately probably would have been better to switch, but I don't know that she could have known that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I don't know how she necessarily could have known that. And to, you know, see Amanda back up there, she just wants to go back to her best friend. And again, the magnetism between her and CT, she's like drawn right back up to like, oh, I could keep working with CT. So that's the call that she makes. And that's where we are. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Overall, happy with the episode. Think it was pretty good.
Yeah. So let me take a look here. Quick draft update. You did not lose Priscilla. Haley did. I don't know. I thought she was on your team. Remember when your team had 1 point?
Yeah, I do.
Priscilla is going to go home. She was on Haley's team. And then in the must lose draft, Priscilla was on my team. So my team finally seeing some action for the first time in a couple of weeks. But that was kind of balanced out by you having Ashley, who won the elimination. And thus we have not moved at all. We didn't get the full draft update yet, but I did see that I did see the confessional count. So I know that not a single person is getting confessional points this week. Everybody had at least one. So no change for that one from last week.
Well, you know what? Logan hurt his leg, so I have points coming in somewhere. Not rooting for it. I would like Logan to be healthy, but
sounds like you're rooting for it.
No, they're coming though.
All right. Well, what else? What have we not talked about yet? Social media.
Ooh, social media. You got anything?
I mean, the big story of the week that we have not podcasted since the Fessy and Amanda drama, where...
Oh, boy.
I don't know. Well, what is there even to talk about here? Besides, the story ended exactly how everybody expected it would end, or at least how I expected it would end, that Fessy, there was a Challenge Mania event. Fessy was seen in pictures just very close to somebody that was there that night. Pictures got back online, and of course, Amanda saw them and was like, yeah, like, fuck this guy.
It's just so funny because, like, yeah, I expected this in a way. I don't think Fessy is a particularly faithful significant other, but I didn't think that he would do it, like, in the room that had 1,000 security cameras on him. you have to be really cocky to even attempt that. Just when you know that there are so many people that are just dying. Like, the people that are going to a Challenge Mania event are probably the people, like a good number of them at least, are going to want to like tweet with and engage with challenge players. And what better way to get like a response than, hey, your boyfriend's cheating on you right now. So I feel like, why in the world would he think this was a good move?
Because he's fessy. And that's why I'm saying that like this was always going to end this way. Literally always. He's just not a very smart guy, as we are all aware. Amanda, you know, took to Twitter to be like, this guy is an idiot. He had a good thing and, you know, he gave it up. So that's on him. I don't think that she's, you know, I'm sure she was not happy to see it, but at the end of the day, you know, it's fessy. So I do think she'll be fine in the long run.
Yeah, I think Amanda, like, right road, like, it was his loss, not mine. Like, I gave him a chance when I shouldn't have, and obviously that came back, but whatever, I'm moving on. Whereas Fessy's response was, like, posting on social media, like, I just wish a woman would love me. It's like, what? Like, that's your response right now? That is so wild. Like, first of all, like, trying to gaslight the fan base and, like, play victim. That is so cringe. I'm so floored that that was the tweet, but whatever. Moving on, it also was so jarring because the after show, I guess, filmed a while ago. So much of it was like, Amanda, Fessy, woo! I was like, oh no, this is so bad.
And the challenge Instagram, I believe, literally themselves, like, tweeted a video clip of the after show that was going to air last night and was like, yeah, this didn't age well. Like, they captioned it something like that. I was like, I mean, this hasn't been brought up on the show or whatever, but like, they note their fans online that are paying attention, we're going to be confused, or so they got in front of that one.
100% of the audience that's watching the after show knows about what's going on online. Like, more people know about what's going on online than are watching the after show, I would bet. So just wild. Absolutely wild.
Yep. So that's that update. And the only other thing that I think we said that we wanted to talk about was All-Stars 2. Was there anything else? Any other drama I'm forgetting?
No, I think that that's it. Like I said, not surprised All-Stars 2 dropped so fast, considering it seems like All-Stars 3 might be on the horizon. Because I checked Vevmo, and it was like, there is a cast speculation page for All-Stars 3, but not for the next season of the regular challenge. So I think that that is good information that it is coming faster than we might want.
It is strange that they're filming another All-Stars so soon, especially this one hasn't aired yet. But as I still feel it, I don't feel it's super weird that they haven't started getting closer to 38 yet, because they still haven't done the reunion yet. I took a screenshot the other day of, not that this information probably would have been hard to find, but, on Nani's Instagram story, she was like, she's like, am I the only one who enjoys an actual visual of their month? So she had a calendar going where it's like a dry erase board, and she like mapped out what she was going to be doing every day of the month. And she's got like trips, she's at West Palm Beach, San Diego, like she's all over the place. That's, you know, her and Casey are just traveling the globe right now, or at least the US. The reunion, according to this map on, this calendar on Nani's Instagram, is filming the 24th through the 28th.
So I guess Nani's vaccinated then, but we'll see. Getting back to All-Stars, I guess. Just overall thoughts. How do you feel about the cast list that was announced for All-Stars 2?
You didn't want me to talk about how my mom is in Disney the same time as Nani and Casey?
Oh, please do.
Nope, that's it. That's the end of the story. My mom sent the picture from the Magic Kingdom, and then I'm on Casey and Nani's Instagram story. They're at the Magic Kingdom watching the same fireworks show. My mom has no idea who those two are and would not have any clue to go say hi. So,
damn.
That's that. All-Stars 2. Yes. I don't know. Lead the way here. What's your initial reaction? I know, actually, I think I saw your initial reaction on Twitter. You're very meh.
I am happier with the cast list that looking at it now than when I was first seeing like the leaked cast list. I don't know if there was some members that weren't on it when I looked at it, or if I was just feeling particularly negative that day or whatever the case may have been. I am happier with it now than I was viewing it then, but I am sufficiently whelmed.
I was going to bring up your tweet because I remember you tweeted that you are whelmed by the cast, and I looked at the replies and someone was like, I think you mean like overwhelmed or underwhelmed. And you were like, no, I meant what I said.
Yep. No. Like, the cast list is fine. I am, like, there are many people on the cast list that I am like, oh, it'll be nice to see them, but it's not that many people that I was, like, begging to see back, where I feel like a lot of those names did show up on All Stars 1, and there were, sure, also people that I was similarly fine with seeing back, but I just don't have as many names that I am, like, begging to see on All Stars 2 so far.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know. One of the main stories here for me is that every alternate except for Cook, Heather Cook, from season 1 has made the cast here. So don't exactly... And I don't even know if there's a list of alternates, people that were out there for All Stars 2 I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm assuming they had to because we're still in the same, you know, COVID schedule kind of thing. Like, you need to have backups. I have no idea if there's names out there for that. I really wasn't paying a whole lot of attention when they went out to film this one, but oh yeah, so the alternates, all pretty much all of them from the first time around are onto this cast, so that's worth noting. The other thing that I feel as a highlight or talking point here is the fact that we left All Stars 1 coverage being like, so probably like 20 out of the 24 people here are going to come back for season 2. And I think 8 of the 22 people are back for season 2.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, not a great prediction game by me. I really thought that we were going to lean heavier on the first cast, especially there were so many people that went out early that I wanted to see more from. So maybe they'll come back on All Stars 5, which I'm sure will air like by this winter. But I am happy to see, for the most part, the ones who were brought back were brought back.
Like, looking at the names here, so the biggest name here that I guess is surprising is the fact that Mark Long is not on the season 2 cast, but the article that was talking about the cast was like, don't worry, Mark's still, you know, producing the show, so he is still involved, whatever. So Mark's not there. Beth is not back, but Beth is like filming the Los Angeles homecoming, so she was busy, I guess. Champion of season 1, yes, is not back. Cyrus, Yasella, who, as we talked about, was a little bit injured. Ruthie is not back. Anissa is not back. I don't know if she was... No, filming wasn't happening at the same time, but she was injured from... She
could be still injured, yeah.
Right. Trishelle is not back. Alton, Ace, sorry to you about that one. Arissa, no surprise. Big Easy's not back. Kellyanne's not back, which is pretty surprising to me. And Jemmy's not back, which I was upset about because I like having Jemmy on the show. And I thought that she was a big enough character on the first one. They would have wanted her back, but they have, let's see, like 15 new people that were not on season 1 on this cast. So I guess they were going for a fresh start.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right move. There's so many people like in the Rolodex that they really can bring back, and I think it will get like a little less exciting on round 3. But so I'm hoping that All Stars 3 ends up being like a mix of All Stars 1, All Stars 2, and new faces, but I am mostly happy with the decision to keep stretching out. Like, even though I'm in such a weird spot with Katie, where she's one of my all-time favorites, and I'm like happy to see her, but she like also kind of quit last season. So I'm a little surprised they decided to bring her back so fast. But you know, that's the thing, is even the ones that I'm super excited about, I'm like have reservations.
If Katie was on every season and quit every season, I'd still want her back on every season. So she's fine. Big name here, obviously Tina, is, I think, or at least I think she's a surprise to most people. I was not fully, I know she was in the rotation for season 1, but that was a surprise to me too. So I wasn't exactly expecting that for whatever reason, but she is going to be on this season, so I'm excited for that. There's some names on here that, even though I've like rewatched the challenge from, you know, almost start to finish, literally just last year, or whatever it was. Was it last year? I have no idea what it was. I don't know some of these people, some of these, or I don't remember some of these people, like people that were on like 1, 2, 3 seasons, like early on. But overall, I agree. I'm pretty whelmed.
Yeah. Has Tina aged?
No.
Like, she does not look like she's aged. And she was like an early cast member. So good for Tina. I feel like something came out that maybe not the biggest fan in recent years, but I don't know. I am excited. I'm not even trying to decide, you know, I'm excited for there are a number of LGBTQ plus contestants on this season, which I think was a lacking point of season one. So I am happy about that. But otherwise, we'll see how the season goes.
Yeah. Jasmine and John A are back together, which makes me so happy.
Same.
So that should be Jasmine super exciting.
Jasmine, probably the number one for me that I'm excited about.
Yeah, I'm probably there as well. I mean, I tweeted my four, Jasmine, John A, Tina, and I was so excited about the four that I'm already forgetting. Who was the fourth? Katie, sorry.
Come on.
You know, whatever. So that's where I'm at with my top four. And I'm just, I'm whelmed. I'm in the same boat as you, but I'm excited to see the season. I'm not excited for it to air at the same time as a different challenge season as it did last time, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I am surprised by the decision. I'm not even surprised. I'm disappointed, but we'll see. I hope it doesn't overlap for too long.
So more on maybe some previewing of this cast, or just kind of maybe we'll touch on it a couple people at a time for the next. I don't know. We'll figure it all out together, because that season's not premiering for about another month. I think it was November 11th for the Challenge All Stars 2 on Paramount Plus. But that's all I got for this week. This was a good episode, and looks like some more hopefully good things to come.
Yeah, I skipped the like mid-season trailer, but because those are always so spoilery for me. But I am curious to see what comes next. I hope we don't fall into just straight targeting the rookies every week, but I am curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah, so lots to see how it all plays out. I'm sure you know it's. Okay, let me not say that. I was going to say, I'm sure it can't get worse than it did for a couple of those episodes in the middle there, but I guess you never know. So let me not say that. Let me knock on wood. And that's all that I have for this week. Sounds like it's all that you have as well. So anything going on in your world, or where can people find everything you got?
I would say keep an eye on Twitter and TikTok at Brian_Scally for both. And anything that I am talking about or doing will be there.
Eh, kind of.
Oh, yeah?
You and I are both notoriously bad at promoting this podcast, so it's not like everything you do is there. But it's a nice way to phrase it and pretend that that's always there.
I try sometimes.
Well, shout out to everybody that is here, despite the fact that neither of us ever really promote it. All right. Follow Scally on all social media at Brian_Scally. Follow me at Matt Ligori. And until next time, until next week, take care.